live and considering expanding the podcast to 4 hours, think of the revenues. It's the Vocal Minority Podcast. I'm kidding. I swear to God.
We could do this.
Of course we could do this.
The appetite has clearly been displayed that this is what the people want.
Raise your voice.
Obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
After all the nonsense about kits that I keep spewing about, look at the ratings at those segments.
Yeah.
Both of them love it.
I mean, I don't think I've really had a chance to talk about kits at all.
That's true. You know what? Duncan has not had his say. That is very true, and that doesn't.
We're not trying to avoid you, man. It's just the way they fall, right?
Indeed. But yeah, I'm just saying, you know, that there's plenty of room for expansion here.
Look,
you know, well, let's focus for now. Let's focus. That's next week or next whenever. For now, focus. Tight show. Let's get us into 2 hours.
If there is nothing going on in the world of football, Duncan, we should just get together and do a whole kit review of every shirt that gets released for the new season across, well, we'll say the 10 major leagues. We don't want to go too far. Okay? All right, here we are. Well, Turkey, everybody's waiting.
Welcome to our month of kit podcasts, where we do one podcast a day featuring a new league. Leading up to our favorite, the Belarusian League. That's how we'll end it. That will be our crowning achievement, yes.
Well, I think eventually we end it with the jerseys from Jersey. I'm sure presumably Jersey has a league, or at least a team in a Channel Islands league that has a kit. Yeah, kind of...
All right.
Entirely
actually, possible. I actually really like that. Oh, no. All right. Well, hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Vocal Minority Podcast. Podcast that is pointing and laughing at the Campiel just a little bit. Just a little bit. They're going to do it so much better than you. I'm sorry, but I'm also not sorry. Anyway. On tonight's show, we talk World Cup quarterfinals, catch up on what happened for most of the ties in the Voyagers Cup, talk about some exciting NSL news, see what TFC have been up to. Yes, they're back. And we're even going to preview some matches. I know, so weird. And now to this week's panel. Thrilled beyond belief to see TFC back on the rundown. Say hello to Duncan Fletcher.
I am so happy. Wow, so many things that have caught my attention that I want to talk about. Yes.
Yeah, if you could just ready slow it down on like the email threads and stuff, like my brain.
Yeah. Yeah.
This guy with the enthusiasm.
Woo. I know. Yeah. Man, when he gets going, guys, you got no idea. Anyway, grateful that the really nice kits have all been eliminated so we can focus on the football. Welcome to Mark Hinckley.
I mean, today was the last, so.
I know. That's why.
So, yeah, that's.
I was admittedly distracted a few times because I was just like, God, it's such a nice kit.
It is such a nice fucking jersey. That honestly,
Prince, I know.
If only Nike could do all of them half good.
I know.
But they can't because they're shit.
Exactly. As for me, yes, Cobra Kai, well aware of certain players' red cards being wiped away so they can play in this fucking tournament. Why do you feel the need to poke me? Oh, because it's fun. I know. You're lucky you're my friend. And yes, that is a private joke via the socials. Not so private, it's in public. Anyway.
Not wrong.
Not wrong at all. I love you, Corey. I do. I am your host, Krista Knowles. And now to the show. Bugger. All right, well, first up, of course, is what's been happening. And obviously, we're going to start with the World Cup. Before we dive into the quarterfinals, we're going to hearken back a little bit to the previous round, the round of 16. And that is the Egypt-Argentina match, the controversial Egypt-Argentina match that continues to be the terrible gift at the exchange. That keeps on giving, in that questions continue to be raised, but sort of delightedly, Egypt is formally challenging the results of their match, of their loss to Argentina. And they're calling for a FIFA investigation into François Le Texier's refereeing, as well as his entire crew. And yes, they've submitted a complaint to FIFA alleging that critical officiating errors and inconsistent decision-making played a major role in Egypt's elimination from the 2026 FIFA World Cup. And you don't see this a lot. You know, it's, I do find it's interesting in that they have decided to go ahead and I actually sort of like it. That mechanism's obviously there for countries to do this. Like, there's obviously a complaint process, and whether obviously nothing's going to happen, it's not going to get overturned or anything, but to have it, it's one of those things where they want to have it on the record. They want to see the investigation. Yeah.
Isn't anything going to happen, though? I like to think that like, 2 years from now, after this has gone through a FIFA investigation and then a
sport court,
sport court
is back, yeah? Maybe.
Or maybe the UN gets involved. Who knows? Because it's like two years from now, they just come back and just play all the matches again. I mean, all the same players are back and bring them all back to America. And they play Egypt versus Argentina. Then they play Argentina's quarterfinal and semifinal, and then final or third place thing again. Just you know, the whole bracket that's affected by Argentina gets replayed like 2 years or so from now after this all gets decided.
As like a kickoff, pardon the pun, but not really, to Euro. You know what I mean? Like just.
Yeah.
Have that
as we just have it going on at the same time as Euro, and all the any of the European teams have to fly by over to America to play in these games, and then fly back to Euro, and then fly back. And
oh my god,
it's the only decent and fair thing to do.
Oh, obviously, like what else? Honestly, what else can they do? This is it.
Yeah.
We have found the solution once again.
Yeah, it's what the Sphinx would do.
It's what the Sphinx is.
True. 100%.
But anyway, I do find it fascinating that and seriously, like, good for them for doing it.
Yeah. Question. I can't remember. Did the Argentina game take place before or after the US game? It was after, wasn't it? Yeah.
After.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Then this complaint warrants is there's more legs to it than it usually is.
Yeah.
Because that was so fucking sus. I didn't look into it too much, but a YouTuber was talking about apparently there was only one person on the board who made the decision out of the 17 or 18 figureheads that sit on that disciplinary board. So one person just said, yeah, we're overturning or delaying it, whatever the fuck it ended up happening. So it didn't actually go through the regular, proper, normal channels. It went through just, oh, we got him on the phone, so that's good enough.
That's so, presumably the guy who's well-respected and respect
be.
Is like 100 times more now, or whatever Trump was
must
saying
be.
About him. Like, excellent.
Yeah, I think from a tournament point of view, this is the most disrepute I could think of in like my living history of the World Cup. I'm sure there has been others way worse than this, but I don't remember them. I turn to my esteemed colleagues with possibly a better memory of that. But
I'm also not that old. I'm not that much older than you. Did people talk about 1978 being a bit on the corrupt side? And 1934, but you know, you give your World Cup to fascists, and things are going to happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it's just.
But like also, so well, this is one that you know is.
Let's not get started on 1966. I mean, Jesus fucking
no,
Christ!
No, I was not going there.
One
no,
ball didn't
I
even
was...
cross the line. One goal was scored in the middle of a pitch invasion. Jesus fucking Christ! Ridiculous.
No. This could be an entire show, but we can talk about I was gonna talk about the hand of God, right? Like that sort of thing, or was that corruption? That was love of Maradona. Like it's like letting Thierry Henry get away with that incredibly obvious handball, which I will ne like I hope no one ever lets him forget until the end of time.
I think some things are just incompetence.
Yes. So that's what I'm saying. Like there are differences, but in this case, like again, this World Cup has been so corrupt, and we have a different we have a different match that has a different incident to discuss as well, which has its own little stain of, oh yes, we want this matchup to happen. So anyway, it's just we'll see what happens with this in 2 years in sport court. But good for them for doing it. I really feel quite strongly about that. So I am delighted that they have chosen to go that route and to try to at least again get stuff on the record that is like, this is fucked up and how dare you sort of thing. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But all at the same time, I swear to gods, if Mo Salah goes to play for the Sporks, I just
Why would he play for the
no.
sport? Saudi Arabia's going to pay him way more than that.
Yeah, but then he's going to live in Saudi Arabia.
Exactly. Actually, you know what? Never mind. Go to Kansas. That's better. Never mind. You go enjoy the sports. That's fine. We'll come out and watch you play sometime. That'll be cool. It means the sports will never come to Toronto
Oh,
while you're
God.
playing there, but that's all right. Anyway, all
I
right.
mean, come on. Don't you want to see all the puff pieces, how he just fell in love with barbecue? It's like Kansas City is a beautiful city. I can be in one state and then go across the street and be in another state all at the same time.
And who doesn't live in Arch?
St. Louis.
That's true.
St.
That
Louis,
is
isn't it?
St.
But yeah,
Louis.
it's all the
Yes.
same thing. St. Louis is in Kansas, isn't it? That's Missouri.
That's
Kansas City
Missouri.
is in
It's
Missouri.
both.
Okay.
The big part of Kansas, the Kansas City where the sports teams actually usually typically reside, is in
Yes.
Missouri. But
Yes.
the Sporks play out of Kansas City, Kansas, which is on the other side of the river.
Fantastic.
I think that's also where the end of the NWSL team, their stadium's on the other side of the river too. I like their stadium. Anyway, yeah. So I did not. This is the first time I've heard about the rumor of him going to Sporks.
Oh, yeah. That's been talked
Kansas
about
City
a lot
doesn't deserve him,
lately.
and lol, all at the same time.
Yeah. But yeah. All right. Let's move on to the quarterfinal matches, and we will start with France and Morocco. Morocco, thanks for coming out. You had another good run. But France were decidedly better. It really wasn't much of a question.
Yeah, with France looking unstoppable. I mean, wow.
I know, like who could
What could
possibly
happen?
nothing like Mbappe just, scoring goals for fun, Didier Deschamps, crowning glory to his career. But like Morocco didn't get a single shot on goal until like the last 10 minutes of the match. It took France a little bit of time. But no, anyway, ultimately, this was kind of a walk in the park for France, this
I
match.
enjoyed that Mbappe missed the penalty.
Yes, that was
The
great.
rest of the game, not
He
so much.
deserved to miss that. That was juvenile, is what that was. I texted my dad and I said, he deserved to miss that. And my dad was like, absolutely. Because that was so dumb. Yeah. Just stop it, all of you. We talk about this all the fucking time. Run up to ball, kick ball hard. That's the penalty. That's the whole thing. Just stop it. That goes to players I like. That goes to players I don't like. That goes to players I've never even fucking heard of. Just stop it, all of you. Although I will say the sudden just flood of memes and posts of people making fun of this. That has been delightful. Penalties at 2026 FIFA World Cup. And it's just people doing, yeah, everything but kick the ball as they, it's so funny. There's been several that have been very good. So anyway, Jesus Christ. So yes, that was not a surprising result, really. I'd sort of no, hoped that Morocco would get a goal in there, but
yeah, it was nowhere near as close as I thought it might be. I thought, you know, Morocco, you'll get it. They'll be able to frustrate. France in a different way, but just as effectively as Paraguay did. But no, not at all.
Yeah, no,
France were
I
all
know.
Over them. So
yeah, it was too bad. So yes, yeah, so France defeat Morocco 2-0. And then we go to Spain versus Belgium. Slightly more lively and interesting match, especially because Belgium finally become the, you know, became the only team thus far to score upon Spain, who had not conceded a single goal throughout the tournament so far. And it was the hero of the previous match who got the goal. So Mark's Bagel King, the Kettleman.
Delicious bagels.
Excellent. Ultimately, Spain were victorious when Mikel Merino came on 88th minute, or came on a few minutes before that, a couple minutes, and then scored. And that was the ultimate result, 2-1 for España.
Yeah, that Belgian reserve goalie is not going to look back on the World Cup fondly.
No. I didn't really see, yeah, like, I didn't really see what happened to Courtois. Like, just suddenly, he was hurt. Like, did someone kick him? Did I miss it? Or was it
I don't remember, I
strain,
think.
Or he got a cramp? Like, it says he has a thigh injury, but anyway, yeah, suddenly Courtois was leaving and Lammens was coming on, and you'd instantly feel horrible for the guy, right? You're just like, oh no, I'm so sorry, man. You didn't think you were going to play a minute, and here you are in the biggest match with 20 minutes left. Good luck. Good luck.
Yeah, didn't go well.
No, it didn't.
Not at all.
Spain continued to look, you know, again, that was probably the other than the glory of Cabo Verde holding them, that was probably the most unsure, most fragile, if that's not even an accurate description. So they didn't look that bad, but Spain have looked the entire tournament. So, all right, 2-1 victory for Spain. They advanced to play France. Oh, that was unconscious rhyming. I am very sorry.
Not in the least.
In this case, I kind of am. I kind of am. I didn't mean to do that. All right. Here was one of the big matches. Like, they're all big matches because it's you know, but this was probably one of the ones that people were hotly, hotly anticipating, which was, of course, Norway versus England.
Who was fully anticipating that? It just sets up to be the world's dullest game, was my thoughts going in, and not entirely disproven.
Not entirely. I thought it was going to be more interesting than it was. Yeah.
It was better than I expected.
Fair.
Yes. Yes.
But not incredibly so.
No, felt bad for, I do feel bad for Holland, just because he seems like a lovely fellow. And also, he did not go golfing with Donald Trump and talk about how cool that was.
Did you see the raccoon? Did you see the raccoon he brought back?
Yeah. He's just
But
such a he's such a goofy guy, right? Like, I'm just like, sure, of course you did. But Jude Bellingham once again. Congratulations, Jude. I will
Yeah,
say I.
the first goal was very nice that he scored.
Yeah.
He was going, all right, well, the ball's there. There's a small amount of danger, and he just like accelerated that and just like, oh shit, there we go. You just did that. That was didn't really see that coming. So that was very well done. The second one was just more terrible goalkeeping, but
Yeah, that was, oh
they all
yeah, that was
count.
just capitalizing, yeah, capitalizing on a keeper error, but all right. I like, yeah, the first goal was very nice. I really, again, this is sort of a social media aspect of the world we live in and of the World Cup. Just again, the number of stitched together videos and reels and stuff of Jude Bellingham being a nice guy, mostly to children, the player escorts and stuff, that kind of thing. That's always lovely. He gets a lot of stick in the press at times, and it's just a kid and talented one, and seems, anyway, this sort of thing makes me happy in terms of a player, I think, that gets treated poorly, that does not deserve it, mostly due to the color of his skin. So this part of the of England's World Cup has made me happy, because anyway, I enjoy that quite immensely. But yeah, this was, I honestly, I did think this was gonna, I this game could have, like we said earlier, like we said last week, I thought that the awareness of the England team to Holland and a couple of his teammates in terms of playing in England would, yeah, neutralize things. And that's pretty much what happened. Like, Norway didn't look
Yeah, he.
interesting. They couldn't
Yeah,
get.
Hallam didn't do much at all.
No.
And then just
They.
like wandered around all frustrated
Made gestures.
He drew, yeah, there was some gesturing.
Very gestures,
Definitely
very
some strong
gesturing.
gesturing. Strong gesturing. But yeah, that was. Yeah, it was just like, okay, that's. I think the only thing that sort of brought some interest to this game was Cablegate, and that is that a goal kick hit one of the spider camera cables and directed the ball to a favorable place on the pitch when it came back down, and there's, parent video and replays, you can see it. But
Can
FIFA
you?
said that
I feel like I've watched like replays and everything, and I don't really notice any kind of big deflection at all, or I so yeah, I don't know.
yeah, I can't tell you. I know that they're all very angry, and they keep talking about the cable, and it's not just
It didn't alter like left right trajectory. It just looked like it arced and then it took a sharper angle
turned down,
down
right?
after it made contact. But it landed literally in the path of an Argentinian player who led the counterattack, which led to the goal. So, yeah, he should not have gotten that ball.
English.
English player.
Sorry, English player. Yes.
It's
I
okay.
just,
We're used to picking on Argentina.
fuck
It's
Argentina.
fine.
But yeah, it shouldn't have counted.
Yeah, I don't for one second sort of buy. Oh, FIFA eventually kind of puts out this thing that shows, oh, well. The little thing in the ball, it wasn't affected at all, so therefore it couldn't have hit anything. It's like, yeah, sure. That's
Yeah,
something, but
exactly.
it was like 2 or 3 days after the fact, they actually kind of put something out and she chose some kind of little video. It's like, oh, okay, took you that long, did it? I feel like, when it's like tennis, cricket, what have you can get sort of replays that have that any kind of like technology
Yes,
and
it's
they'll
pretty
actually show them. It's like,
instantaneous.
pretty much immediately. So, let's do that next time, FIFA, shall we? I guess they need to manufacture whatever result they need to first, and then
Exactly.
show
Well,
it
that's
off.
the thing. It's like, oh, okay. So is this, because they really want to see, they want to see England at least go the next step, especially because they, I don't know, because England has looked decent through this tournament. And that's the, I'm not trying to throw shade on previous English squads, but this is the best I've seen England play for a while, consistently.
They barely got past Dr. Congo, barely got past Mexico, barely got past Norway. I mean,
I know, but they actually
super
did.
Impressive.
Oh, I didn't say super. I didn't. I just said they looked better.
I concur with the better part.
But anyway, it's just it's whether or not, like, is England worthwhile? Like,
yeah, England's a much bigger market than Norway.
Yeah.
Yes, and that's all that matters.
Yeah. Also, he scored several goals, but so is Jude Bellingham now. But Harry Kane, no matter what you think about him personally, is still one of the top goal scorers in the world. Still plays for one of the best teams in the world. And there is a marketability for that, right? Like, so those are things that go through my head when little weird things like this happen, right? It's the same thing with Messi, right? Best player in the world, cement his legacy, blah, 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 you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, who doesn't love like skinny version of the guy from the Goonies? I supermarketable. Who doesn't love that? I mean, if he's got his proper voice back now, then it's all right, you're back to being bland hopeless and you go golfing with Donald Trump. Of course you fucking do. Jesus.
Exactly. Oh, I know. Anyway, all right. England advance, and now Argentina versus Switzerland. This one sort of more interesting than I, you know, thought it would be, at least for a good time. In that it Argentina had to go to extra time against a team down a man to pull this one out. And it wasn't, they really didn't, this is the worst that Argentina, I think, has looked the entire tournament. Because I don't think they looked very good through much of this match. I really don't. What do you guys think?
I don't know. Didn't see this game. Was out, so didn't watch it beyond a few highlights here or there. So,
oh, I'm glad you were out. Good for you.
I went to see Heated Rivalry, the musical parody.
And?
Go on.
Actually, not bad. Actually, some quite entertaining.
Where was this? Was this at Fringe? No.
No, it was one of the theaters that's in the distillery district. I couldn't tell you the name of it, but this is better than I thought it would be.
Huh. Interesting. So there's a musical version of Heated Rivalry.
Yes. It's basically
a parody,
you know, the whole thing is the whole thing is just kind of like making fun of it and the people that watch it and that sort of thing. It's a very fondly tongue-in-cheek version of Heated Rivalry. Yeah.
Marcus, your thoughts then?
Argentina, Switzerland. I kind of felt like Argentina's been doing this thing where they just kind of stick around in like second, third gear until about late into a match. And then all of a sudden, oh yeah, well, I guess we should probably show up and win this thing. Right. And then it's just like guns are blazing until they do the damage. And I thought like for that first 70 minutes, they looked very beatable.
Yeah.
Like Switzerland are a very good team. There's almost no flash about them, but they are super disciplined, like formation wise. they always know where you know who's making the runs. They're always connecting those passes, and they are not afraid of an attack. And it, like, there was a small part of me watching this game going, I could see Switzerland getting to the final of this fucking thing, losing, but I could see them getting there because they're just no frills, but just very good.
They're a very frustrating side, and they were for much of this. But I see what you're saying. Yeah, Argentina, this is the tack they've taken before. But even in all those other games, they still looked like they were toying with the other team. This one looked like they were like, we should reformulate our plan because they're not being toyed with. They're actually just being like, oh, all right, this is how you want to play. We'll do this. We will outlast you. And they almost did.
Yeah.
And then that
stupid yellow, second yellow card. The stupidest thing. I hope, like, that kid should still be crying. Like, so Duncan, I don't know if they covered this during the play.
During the play, no, but I have seen highlights of the
like that's the kind of, like, to me, it's the fact that you got busted for this is one of the most unprofessional things I've probably ever seen. Like, it's so crystal fucking clear that he was never touched, and then he flopped, but he flopped so good that he fooled the ref the first time. Yep. And he had to be punished for getting busted. And, like, dude.
Oh, yeah.
It's a one-all game in a knockout in a World Cup. This isn't match week 21. This is fucking, there's no tomorrow. If you fuck this up, there's no tomorrow. And then you fucked it up. Now, there's no guarantee that had he not simulated so brutal that his contributions could have led to a Swiss victory, because we're never going to find out, because he thought that was the right idea. And, like, just looking at the weird part is looking at the momentum up until that point, the Swiss were dominating the shit of this game. And then they never had real control.
No, they were just trying to, like, keep their heads above water. They were just trying to get to penalties.
Like,
that was a good plan at that point.
Good plan.
Just to fucking get to penalties, but not a sustainable one.
Didn't work.
Nope.
Yeah, that was really, really hard to watch.
To be fair.
Yes.
To that guy. As you say, it's a World Cup quarterfinal. You've got to go out there and try everything you can. And, you know, that can include a little bit of shithousery and try to con the referee. And he did it very, very well.
Yeah, it worked.
He got the opposition player booked. Fantastic. Except for this, like, new weird rule came in, and it's like, the thing is, I mean, if he just, like, fallen over and he wasn't good enough, it's like, well, okay, you win the foul, but that wasn't worth a yellow card for the Argentinian, then absolutely nothing would have happened at all. VAR wouldn't have been able to get involved with that at all. But it's because his dive was so good and fooled the referee so well that they were able to do it. So it just...
Hey, Pete, you need to take a look at this.
Yeah. There's an irony to that, really. Just like, all right, he went out there, he was doing what he needed to do to help his team, and he did it too well.
Yeah.
And got himself sent off. And fully deserves it, because that was an outrageously blatant dive when you see the replays and everything. I don't know how it looks, like, you know, just straight up in sort of real time. Obviously, from the referee's vantage point in real time, it looked like he got kicked. But yeah, I don't know. He was out there trying. He was doing his best.
He was doing his best to keep them in it. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
New technology and new rules kind of fucked him over a little bit.
How was I supposed to know they were going to review me being a shithead?
It never did before.
That's the epitaph right there, kids. That's what it says on the poor boy's headstone. Anyway, it's just like, But I think the biggest thing for me was wanting to yell at him repeatedly, why? 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 Because you guys were in fucking control. You had just scored the goal that tied up the game and showing absolute fucking reams of time of control. That was not
Yeah.
the time to do that. And the
No.
thing is, I would totally understand this, Duncan, except he was playing the game. He was on the field. He was not a substitute. You know what I mean? It's like you were there the entire 75 minutes and you thought you were slipping. You just sealed the momentum's, taking advantage of all that work with a game tying goal against these motherfuckers.
I feel
I
like
just.
you part of controlling the game and controlling the tempo and that sort of thing is sort of winning fouls and stopping the opposition from getting any momentum going. I mean, I think back to when Canada played against Switzerland, I think like the first half, it kind of showed there was like stats there, the fouls in the first half, it was like Switzerland like fouled them 13 times or something, and like Canada five, what have you. And it's like a lot of it, isn't it? Yeah, it's that's a whole part of their thing, is there? They'll try and keep possession and do this, and it's like, oh, you're maybe trying to do something. Yep, nope, we're going to win fouls, or we're going to foul you or what have you, and just kind of stop that momentum and that sort of thing, and try to sort of calm the referee into giving a foul against Argentina would be as much as it is of right, just fouling the opposition and just kind of slowing the game down. And yeah, unfortunately he did it well enough that he actually got the other guy booked, which brought VAR into things. So yeah, it didn't work out in the end, but I feel like it was on me. Yeah, this all felt very much like Switzerland's game plan, really.
Pretty much.
And again, like, and props to them for like truly how long it took Argentina to decide that they, like to or to for them just to finally like screw up enough that, Argentina did put it away, right? Like it was that was a good long time in a knockout round, into extra time, to play down a man. Like they played down a man 45 minutes, 50 minutes, something like that, longer. So that's not easy to do, especially, when you're just, again, you're just trying to hang on. So you don't want to be creative. You don't want to do anything. And you have a team that can be very creative. Anyway, Argentina win against Switzerland. So we have France versus Spain, Argentina versus England, and France versus Spain was today, day of recording. Spain victorious 2-0. Second France. No, I don't
Yeah,
really.
stick your Bastille Day up your ass, friends.
Well, I did think that was kind of funny, like especially considering my family celebrates Bastille Day. It's one of our favorite holidays. And the irony of them losing.
Is that an irony? I mean, I think, Bastille Day was very much the French establishment losing,
That's true. Good point. Thank you, Duncan.
depending on which way you look at, who was considered
That's
France at
yeah.
the time, the people or the establishment.
Yep.
But yeah, today the role of the Bastille
Oh, they
Stormers was
were.
played by Spain.
And again, Spain. So I did I because I was off. I ended up having today off, so I got to see the whole thing. France did not look good at all. Certainly not anything that we've sort of seen from them this tournament. But Spain, full control of this match. They just, two goals. That was all they had to do. They went for they could have had a third. It's offside. Yamal, that's okay. You're just a baby. You've got a huge career ahead of you. But it was not a question in terms of watching it, who was going to win. It didn't take very long to see that France just I don't know, man. I don't know if they just ran, they just didn't, they ran out of gas. Like they looked tired, but also Spain also just looked good. Like France had no real answers for anything Spain was doing most of the time. Mbappe looked unhappy, and but that was the thing. He was sullen in this match instead of being creative and decisive, you know? Like it was interesting to watch, sort of two very good teams. And I think what's been interesting with Spain this tournament, because so much focus has been on Argentina and on some of the controversies, but also some of the feel-good stories of the underdogs and teams' unexpected runs and things like that, is for the most part how good Spain has been. Again, still only one goal conceded through the entire tournament.
Yeah, I mean, they're not a an attention getting side. They
No.
say there hasn't been any kind of crazy drama in their matches, and they haven't, just
Or on
blown
their
anyone.
squad.
Yeah, they haven't just like blown anyone away and looked, oh, holy shit, they're amazing. These guys are really good, like France have done a bunch of times. So yeah, they kind of got here and it's just like, okay, they've very much like been in control without in any way being, oh wow, amazing. And yeah, I mean, I think that's essentially what they did here as well. You said there they controlled the game, and I think you just look at the selection that sort of France put out there, and they went with like the essentially four forwards. Essentially, and it seemed like they were very much, all right, yeah, we'll kind of conceal midfield play, and yep, you'll pass it around a lot, you'll control the game. And do you think you can do that without, in any way, occasionally fucking up and giving our like four-man attack like the chance to just fucking go out there and fuck you over? And Spain looked at it and said, yeah, we can do that, and they did. So I
Yeah.
think France gambled and lost, and whoever plays against Spain in the final needs to, kind of plug up the midfield and not let Spain control the game as much as they did.
And I do think, like, obviously the Argentina England, obviously the Argentina England match is tomorrow, day after recording. And I have no idea what. Truly, I have no idea what's going to happen in that match. I'm expecting chaos, actually. I feel like this is going to be chaos 3.0. We've had a couple other chaos matches. I think this is another one in the making. But I look at both of those teams up against how Spain has very steadily performed through this tournament. And both England and Argentina have had to rely on like wild fits of this and bursts of that and drama and stuff like that, whereas Spain is just like, that's nice. Can't score on us though, can you? All right.
They're yeah,
Like it's
just coolly and calmly sort of passing it around and controlling the games, and then they've got some, sort of really good attacking players as well. So yeah, when they need to, they can, play some, it's like, oh shit, that's the size, and it's like very nice, like incisive and quick sort of like football as well, if they want to. It's not just, it's not like the whole sort of 2010, 2012, just like ticky tacka, just kind of like pass you to death, and oh, Jesus Christ, nothing ever happens, and then eventually something does. It's like, oh yeah, no, they can actually do just like, a basic like good, quick, sharp sort of counter attack and what have you as well. So yeah, they look very
else
good.
and also I do think, especially given, well, Argentina notwithstanding as the one outlier, like Spain are the most recent Euro champs as well. Like
Yeah.
they won 2 years ago on Bastille Day, actually, against England. So like they're again they're it's so funny. I always find it interesting when people discount Spain as a good team. Yes, they last won 16 years ago. Is that their only title? It's their only title, isn't it? Don't
World
look
Cup,
good.
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got a couple of Euros and a
Couple
World Cup.
Euros, but that's their only World Cup title.
Well, three
But
now.
yes. But that was anyway, they weren't expected to win that against the Netherlands, because Netherlands seemed unbeatable that year. I remember being at some giant weird sports bar that has like betting, starts with a W. I don't know.
Legs.
North Etobicoke something. There was
The Weed Chief.
no, not the Weed Chief, no. No, this
WEGZ, Wegs, or
yes.
something like that.
Yeah,
Yeah.
something like that. Yeah. So I was there and it was like a sea of orange and me in my red shirt and one other table of guys rooting for Spain. The rest of us just surrounded by Netherlands supporters, which made the ending of the day very interesting. Anyway, I just think that people are so busy being focused on teams with higher profile players. Again, not that Spain don't have some high profile players, but it's just not the same. Although Unai Simon, like people are sleeping on him, I think, which is ridiculous because he's an incredibly good keeper. I actually, the prediction thing I'm in, I picked him as my Golden Gloves, keeper of the tournament at the very beginning before a ball had been kicked, because I've watched him play and he's very good and has been very good. Their whole defense has been very good. I just think
Yeah, I
Spain
mean,
has to be
probably
looked
that.
at as the favorite going into the final now.
Yeah, and then probably said their best player is Rodri, and he's not a
Yeah.
sort of like, ooh, wow, super like fancy highlights guy. He's just a, yeah, all right, I'll be
He's
back here,
just,
kind of
yeah, he's just.
stopping
Go
what
ahead.
you're doing and controlling the game.
Yeah.
Like, and yeah, and then Yamal theoretically might be the exciting player, but he hasn't really managed
No.
to score many goals or anything, and then. Yeah, sort of Oyarzabal and what have you. It's just, oh, he's got a bunch of goals,
Actually,
but again,
Oyarzabal, yeah, has been really.
nothing exciting from it, but yeah.
No, he's so interesting. He doesn't even really look like a footballer. Do you know what I mean? I look at Oyarzabal and I'm like, are you playing the right sport? I don't know what sport I think you should be playing. Baseball? Like I just look at him and I'm like,
Accounting?
yes, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, really?
Yeah, this
Football?
sort of
For you?
accounting, yeah.
Anyway, but anyway, I really enjoy this side from them. So it'll be interesting to, well, Sunday will be fascinating. So
Yeah, whoever wins tomorrow is going to lose against Spain.
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like England and Argentina, they both have a sort of Italian 90 vibe to them, in because of, right, well,
Ooh, good call.
both of them are, well, they're advancing. They've had at least one kind of impressive looking game here or there, but then, well, you're barely getting past Belgium. You needed extra time to get past Cameroon, and now you're in the semi-finals. Okay. England barely get past Dr. Congo, barely get past Norway. Then Argentina as well were not at all impressive in 1990. They got all the way to the final before eventually losing to the worst final ever. And yeah, I feel like I get a similar vibe from both of them. It's like, yeah, neither of these teams look particularly impressive. So yeah. Spain, congratulations, World Cup winners.
He's not wrong though. I
I
really don't
don't
think
think
he
he's
is.
wrong. I
No,
just,
I really, Spain wins as far as I'm concerned.
I kind of don't see either team from the other game. Neither of them strike the confidence in me that, oh yeah, this is the team that can win the World Cup. Yes. On any given Sunday, you too can win a World Cup, but no, I just don't see it. Spain, like,
Do you want to call a winner between tomorrow's match, between Argentina and
ah,
England?
God. I
I
mean,
know.
I hope it's
I just
England
want
because I don't want
chaos.
Argentina in the final.
Fair, same.
That being said, I don't. I think you get chaos if Argentina, if England gets to the final, you get chaos at the final. If Argentina gets to the final, you're gonna get chaos in that game and in the final. So, both on and off the pitch. So I don't know. I just want Argentina out, and since new World Cup winner dream is dead, how about one that hasn't won it last? since the last time. So yeah, that's where I'm at.
So England, all right.
I know, right?
Woo. Yeah, Mac.
I
Woo.
know. Is it coming home, Duncan? Is it coming home?
No.
Did they do the packing slip correctly?
It's
Is it
gonna get
coming
on
home?
it's on a plane, it'll do a flyover and then go somewhere else. It will fly over England on the way to Spain.
On its way to
Well,
Madrid.
will somebody be there to sign for the package? And if not, do we know where the depot is to get it?
I mean, Keir Starmer is not at home right now, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, England and Argentina are both two very flawed teams, with some good players who can produce something out of nothing and help. But
True.
Spain is just a outright very good team, and I think eventually, flawed teams where, ooh, you got a good player. I mean, that can help you get past, Dr. Congo, Mexico, Norway, Egypt, Switzerland, whoever. Once you actually get up to level of, oh, you're actually playing against a really good team right now, it's not going to work. As for Wednesday's game, who's going to win? Argentina. This isn't the kind of game England win. Something cruel will happen. Either, a like egregious refereeing error,
I was just gonna say,
or
there's gonna
just,
be like a red card that shouldn't be a red
yeah,
card or
or
something.
something very sort of bad luck. There will be some kind of heartbreak for England was, oh, well, they didn't deserve that. That's so unfair. Oh, wow. Anyway, let's have a big, open top bus tour for our brave Lions who are cruelly robbed at the end, one way or another, is how this is going to end. Harry
You've thought of
Kane,
this, clearly. You've thought of
yes,
this. You've imagined this.
indeed. Harry Kane does not score any more goals after filling his boots in the group stage against Dr. Congo and then a penalty against Mexico. He's gone quiet and he will remain quiet in the big games, as always.
I was just gonna
Football
say
guy.
that feels very familiar, so yes.
But
Oh.
anyway, prove me wrong, lads, kids, whatever, prove me wrong.
Yeah, I picked England to go forward tomorrow. And for all you England fans, I said they were going to do it on pens. So I'm
Well,
sorry, but that is what I chose. So we'll see. We will find out if I've cursed England or just found some weird, not faith, more again. I just like the chaos. I just want it to be chaos.
Yeah,
And
there's a good chance like penalties will be the oh cruel,
yes.
so unlucky way that England lose. That's a very good chance of that.
I know. Well, let's move on to a different, a smaller, yet still dear to our hearts tournament, but one that happens every year, and that is the Voyagers Cup. And the latest round of the Voyagers Cup started last week. And with the exception of one tie, everything's been sorted because they did home and away within less than a week between everybody except for Ottawa and Supra, who have to finish theirs next month, which is hilarious. However, we have the Whitecaps versus Calgary. We've got Montreal. Oh God, who did Montreal play again? York
Did Montreal
Six
play? Ah, yes.
and for Saint-Laurent versus Hamilton, and then again Ottawa are playing Supra. So Calgary got their asses handed to them by the Whitecaps, which should surprise nobody. Like 4-1 in the opening leg. Four one. It was a lot. Anyway, they were unable to do produce any sort of magic in the return leg. But they looked better. They looked better.
That's nice.
What was it? Was it one? It was 1-1, I think, the second leg. So that was nice, you know. But also Vancouver didn't have to do anything, you know. So I haven't seen a second of the Voyageurs Cup because I have been working for the most part when it's been on. So anyway, the yes, Calgary, Vancouver Whitecaps advance, shocking absolutely nobody. And then the Cheesemakers, a little more drama filled. They had to play down a man over the Seagulls, and they did ultimately, however, win on aggregate 4-2. So again, not too difficult a job. I don't know. Did either of you get a chance to watch any of these, Mark?
I got to catch some of the Forge Saint Laurent matches. It was strange because Saint Laurent obviously did not give a shit who they were playing, and I'm not used to seeing Forge being the team that doesn't give a shit
Right.
who they're playing.
Yeah.
It was interesting seeing somebody do that to them. And they looked for the most part good. I think that there were definitely huge chunks of those games where Forge were just kind of looking at each other like, what the fuck's happening here? So the fact that it went to like literally injury time of the second game to seal the whole thing, like good on CS Saint Laurent. First off, bravo. Secondly, now's a good time for two new Quebec teams in the CAMPL. Just take CS Saint Laurent, move them wholesale. They're already better than two teams in this league, without question.
Yeah.
So like, what was it? I think it was a 2 o'clock kickoff. That was the first leg or something. From middle of the day. It's like
Yeah, three.
summer
Yeah,
camp.
it's like it was so weird. I'm like, what are you doing?
I refreshed Fop Mob like four times, and then when it showed like the timer actually going, like, oh, it's the first minute to 22 seconds, like, oh shit, that's real. And then I, put it on the background. Like, hooray, Hamilton advances.
Yeah,
Boo.
did you really feel that though, Mark? Do you not
No,
feel just kind of dirty and oh, well, that would have
not
been better
really.
if they'd lost.
Not really. No, my boo is mostly for the fact that the next game I'm out of the country. So fuck. Okay, fuck you guys. Honestly, why does it take this many fucking months? There are more months in this tournament than there are rounds. What the fuck, guys?
Tradition, Mark. Tradition that I know
Tradition. This should be fucking wrapped up in June. The whole thing.
they try to emulate the FA Cup, spread this out throughout the whole year, build the excitement slowly.
I mean, I would be way more excited if we had 1,000 clubs in it, but alas, we're at 13. So, like, maybe I would love to play this in Wembley, Manitoba. I assume there's a Wembley, Manitoba. But my God, wouldn't it be awesome for us to have to go to Manitoba for a fucking game, especially not Winnipeg?
That would be kind of cool,
Every
actually. Yeah,
year, the final Wembley Stadium.
game.
It's just a bunch of bleachers in the middle of this. It's the middle park of a fucking town of 600 people, 2.5 hours west
Flon.
of Flim Flam. Yeah,
No,
Flim Flam. Yeah,
Flintflon,
it's so remote, but my God, tradition.
yeah.
This is when we need like companies to step up and make this thing a real fucking thing. Like, just because we can't expect CanSoc to do it. And we can only, I don't even know if there's a Wembley, Manitoba, but my God, what if there was? How amazing would this be?
Someone found a Wembley right now, and we will, if you build it,
Yeah, change your name of your town. Look,
we
we're looking at you,
will
Brandon.
come.
Who gives a fuck about Brandon? You're now Wembley, Manitoba. Congratulations, the Wembley Wheat Kings. It even sounds better. The junior hockey team already sounds better because they're called Wembley Wheat Kings. I need to find out there is a Wembley, Manitoba.
you get it right on that. CS and Laurent were really, they were the team that we were expecting to potentially do the business, right? Like they are a strong team. They are, again, they're a fun team. We've enjoyed watching them before, so there was potential there. The Seagulls could not replicate their previous cup magic. Because again, even a 10-man Montreal was able to defeat them.
True.
So
There is a Wembley, Alberta.
There is a Wembley, Alberta, with a population
Interesting.
of 1,400 people. This is
Oh,
exactly what I wanted in Manitoba. It's just
100%.
in Alberta now. I wanted it more central. Okay. That's to be fair. But who gives a shit? This is the tradition. We're going to go get a bunch of Lego and build two towers next to the one bleacher, and it's going to be like Wembley 2. Wembley Stadium 2.
Love
I
this.
don't hear nearly as much enthusiasm from you both.
Sorry, this sounds like amazing. I love this. I will plan my year around this.
I'm down for this, absolutely. I was just trying to look at the map and figure out, okay, where exactly is this and what's going
Yeah,
on?
where
But
exactly is it in
it is
relation
like
to?
those are details that don't matter. It's all about the vision. And yeah,
Not important.
let's do this.
It is kind of like north. Sorry, it's like w almost west in the very central of Alberta. So like, if you do the like the north-south longitude, about the middle, right where that, you know how that angular part that cuts in from BC and then it goes straight? Just above the angle part where it goes straight, probably like about a couple kilometers from that border, that's where Wembley sits.
Sweet. That sounds like the place that thousands of Canadians from across the country would want to go to,
Oh my God.
because
And
tradition.
Edmonton's already going. Fuck, we need to book our trip. And it's
Yeah.
far from Edmonton. It's further from Edmonton than Edmonton is to Calgary. This is nowhere, folks, and it's a great idea.
It's only 20 kilometers west of Grande Prairie, Alberta.
Did I bury the lead? My bad. It's
Oh.
suburban Grande Prairie? I mean, shit. And it's
That's all
not
right.
far
Well,
from.
this we'll start warning Grand Prairie hotel and motel owners now
And it's
to start setting aside blocks for us.
also not far from a place called Sexsmith, which
Yeah. Oh.
I'm forever going to be 10 years old in my head. That's funny.
I don't know why Tom Jones just echoed through my brain,
And that's not unusual.
but
Ooh, it has a recreation arena, an escape park,
an
and it
skate
looks like
park and a
a
stadium
skate park.
and a state.
There's a Wembley Elementary School that looks like it has a field that would fit a soccer stadium, but not currently a stadium that at least not that makes the map, no.
It is best known for the world-renowned Philip J. Curry Dinosaur Museum. Mark, you didn't tell us there was a dinosaur museum.
I'm still trying to find plots of land to put our stadium in there. It's going to be next
Dinosaur.
to the fucking museum. Oh my God. I just this thing is just churning money.
Little Eva's Pizza and Pasta could be the sponsor for it. The Little Eva's Pizza and Pasta Stadium is,
It's the
yeah.
official
They
pizza and pasta of Wembley Stadium, too.
Yes.
This is
And
fantastic. Gotta say.
probably the
We're
official Chinese restaurant and the official diner place
we
and
are
the official steakhouse as well.
now a city planning podcast, everyone.
Yeah,
Yeah.
this is
You
incredible.
are welcome. And fuck
Sunset
Sexsmith
Lake
after that.
Park.
Flying Shot Lake. What's that all about? Bear Lake. It sounds entertaining. Right?
Does.
Lake
It's not great. It's
Saskatoon.
just a regular bear lake.
Yeah. Yeah,
Oh, and
no.
they're a baby town. They were only granted town status. Oh my God, we are older than this town, you guys. They've been a
Lol.
town since 1980.
That's brilliant.
I love this. I love this. great. Communities in Bloom Day. Oh, they have a parade.
Well, That's of course, that leads into
exciting.
The FA Cup final.
Oh, the town becomes very colorful with hanging flower baskets and colorful flower
Ooh.
pots.
Also part of the FA Cup. I mean, come on.
Yes,
this is
coming along nicely. Okay, I love this. I love it. All right. Roll on, Wembley, Alberta. We coming. Delightful.
So good.
I feel like we've lost the thread of the show.
We 100% have. I'm going to go back to soccer now. All right. So then again, so we've got Whitecaps, Montreal, and Hamilton so far advancing to the semifinals. And now we wait until August for the return leg of the Supra and Ott-Leti match. Supra. They have taken control of the tie. They are up 3-1, in fact, which is not a bad place to be.
It's not an insurmountable lead.
No, it's not, especially once you know they have to go play it on the plastic pitch of TD Place or whatever. But yes, so the return leg is August 11th in Ottawa. Goals were scored by David Chouinard, Sean Ray, who's still out there doing good things, Ibrahim Conde, and Wesley Timoteo for Ottawa. Yeah, a few yellows, and looks maybe too outrageous. So yeah, there we go. We just wait for that. And then yes, the semifinal round is in September, and then the final is in October sometime, if I remember correctly. All right, NSL time. So we got a few things to talk about NSL. One, a couple of the teams, Montreal and Toronto, they've been stockpiling some high level current and on the bubble national team players. Montreal signed Mimi Alidou, which was a very good get. And then they also signed French international Yves Perisset, but she got injured not too long after she signed.
Damn.
So that's a very sad situation, because that was going to be, she's going to be fun to watch. I don't know how injured she is. Yeah, she should be fine. She's out for several weeks, it says, so she'll play again before the end of the season. But Mimi Alidou is a really solid get for the Roses, and she's been, you know, making a name for herself, slowly but surely getting worked back into the national team. She's had some NWSL time. Anyway, this is a good grab and a good way for her to, you know, shop window herself for more national team looks. But I really like Mimi Alidou. She's delightful. So congratulations on that from Montreal. And like the current NSL standings, you've got Ottawa with kind of a stranglehold on the league a little bit right now. They're in first, 25 points. They're up on Montreal, who are in second, 21 points. And then those are the two still best teams in the league. And then we have this mushy middle, and then we have Calgary, who continue to just be horrible. They're just awful. They've still yet to win a game. They only have 2 points. They have conceded 28 goals.
Jeez.
However, that is not the worst defense in the NSL. No, that belongs to Vancouver, who conceded 29 goals. Who, yes, after making a... These guys are either scoring goals or they're just sucking. Like, Vancouver cannot decide who they are this season. They have the ability to be good, but are unwilling to prove it on a consistent level. So yeah, right now they are, you know, again, they're part of this mushy middle with Toronto and Halifax. But Toronto has been ever so slightly more consistent. They do still have a game in hand, as does Calgary, which that will probably help nobody. But speaking of Toronto, Toronto went, they went all out and signed Sabrina D'Angelo as their starting keeper, who is, you know, waiting for Kaylin Sheridan to decide that she just wants to go do something else, basically. Otherwise, she's just always going to be the runner-up keeper for the national team until Kaylin Sheridan just is no longer the first choice. And this is, and that's actually a pretty big get for Toronto. They, you know, their defense isn't terrible, but to have a top-rate keeper will help. But Toronto also signed Shalina Zdorsky.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I know. I was like, I did not expect that. But like, that one's wild. She seems very excited. She was back in the NWSL, right? And she's been playing overseas a lot, but well, maybe not. Maybe she hadn't been in the, maybe she was one of the few that hadn't come back over.
She'd been in the WSL for the last, looks like.
Yeah, well, because she was a Spurs mainstay for quite a while. She was their captain for a while, and then she sort of did the same thing. Oh yeah, she was still with West Ham. That's right.
She fell out of favor and ended up at West Ham.
Yeah. That's one.
What did she do?
She actually had some health issues and some stuff.
I was joking.
No. I know. But we talked about this. It was one of the things that was cool about Shalina was that she was really open about her struggles. And anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to ruin your joke. I apologize.
Sorry.
I mean, yeah, she totally fucked that up and went to West Ham.
Sorry, Shalina, I didn't know.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. No, hey, you go in for it, and sometimes it backfires. Yeah,
it happens. So the thing with all of the new signings is that the NSL transfer window hasn't officially opened. So while all the players have signed or are here with their clubs and stuff, they can't play until July 20th. So which is now not too far. They'll play, you know, they'll play whatever, not this round of matches, but the next ones. They'll all play in game week 14. And coincidentally, NSL sites stop refreshing. Thank you. Montreal and Toronto play each other. Because of course they do.
Why not?
Because why not?
Look at our shiny toys, both of us.
Yes, exactly. Ooh, what did you get in your package? Yeah, you know. I missed this entirely until I saw someone make like a passing reference to this the other day. Calgary Wild actually have a new coach. Australia's Lee Blaney. I know nothing about this person. Let's see. New exciting new chapter. Internationally respected women's football coach, Leah Blaney, second head coach in the club's young history. Experience highest levels. Can I get some of that experience in this article? Laura Murphy, Chief Executive Officer of Calgary Wild. Scrolling. Most recently served, there we go, Jesus Christ, as assistant coach with Japan's women's national team. Okay. That's some decent.
That's a resume.
That's some good resume building right there. Prior to joining Japan, 5 years as the U20 women's head coach for the Matildas.
Okay.
Consecutive FIFA U20 Women's World Cup appearances and a bronze medal at the U20 Women's Asian Cup. Okay, fine. She was a finalist for the 2024 AFC Women's Coach of the Year Award. Anyway, so she's been around for a bit. She's got some good consistency. This doesn't sound like a terrible move, but she's got It'll be like, I hope, with knowing so little about her, I do hope that she sticks around for Calgary, that they give her past this season. Because that doesn't always happen, as we know. Because I really, every time I look at NSL results and I see once again, oh, like Calgary will score first in a game and then completely get demolished, you know? And it's just like, oh man, not again. Like, I don't like it. It's not good, especially for a nascent league, you know? Like, you want parity, you want competition. I guess the only good thing in this whole situation with Calgary is that it's not Halifax repeating last year. So it's a different terrible team, but at least it's different. Do you know what I
I
mean?
mean,
I know that sounds weird, but
honestly, though, the fact that there's so few teams, when one of them is bad, it may as well just be a beacon, right? Like, you can't help but notice that you are the worst team out of six. You're the worst team out of like 16. It's easier because it's a gradient. The team above you is probably not that bad, or not that much better than you, I should say. And the team above them, it's you can see like, two wins and you go from last place to 12th. When you're a six-team league, that's you're adrift. You know what I mean? Like, it's just the sooner this league adds new teams, the better. Foreshadow? Did you feel the foreshadow? Did you feel the foreshadow?
I don't know what you mean.
I'm speculating, but or am I? Yeah, that's I think that's the thing. Like, even in CAMPL, when somebody's the worst team in the league, it doesn't seem that bad because there's seven other teams. But when there's
I
only
mean,
five,
Aquaman would like to have a word, so
true, but when there's five, it's so
yeah.
few. It's
Anyway,
just
good luck, Terry. Good luck, Terry. I hope you can turn them around. We'll see.
Let's see it. Let's see how good of a coach you really are.
Yeah, seriously. You don't have MLSE money to play with, you know. This is CAMPL. This is CAMPL Canadian Tire money.
Non-stop success before, but now,
Yeah, oh
yeah.
yeah, oh yeah, exactly. Anyway, so but one more tiny piece of news with the NSL. Actually, it's delightful, and it was the worst kept secret because we've known this was coming. We've known this was coming for months without them formally saying anything. Even before they put out the survey about whether or not people would be interested in having an NSL club in this city, you knew because of the two people that relocated. Well, one went home to Winnipeg and the other one went back to the town where he used to coach. So Winnipeg, welcome to the NSL. It's official. They have been formally announced as the next expansion side for 2027, with Desiree Scott and Rob Gale leading the charge. It's so far, I don't know, two, maybe three absolutely delightful Instagram posts, because they're both goofs. Apparently the name has already been chosen.
Black flies, but the black flies, come on,
do it.
That would be funny. That would be funny.
I mean, just the idea that the schedule for this week, we have the Tides playing the Rapid, we have the AFC Toronto playing the Wild, and we have the Roses play the Black Flies. Yeah, that's a pretty metal name too. Like, let's be honest.
Anyway, what I find funny is that in the video about the name, they keep bleeping out the name as both Desi and Gail say it, the Winnipeg, yeah, whatever. And but tell us your guesses in the comments. The comments are all just like, the Winnipeg Destroyers. It has to be the Destroyers. And I'm like,
No, it doesn't. That's stupid.
Exactly.
You're on a lake, guys. There's no destroyers there.
Like,
who
I
are you protecting
we
from?
We all love Desiree. I get that. But no. Just no. Just no. Anyway, we'll see. It'll be interesting to see what happens with that in terms of the name. But it is very exciting to see it finally be announced. They are still planning on 8 teams by 2028. So I can't remember what their next. I do think they actually were looking in Saskatchewan. But
lol.
Yes. Honestly, I think they're just like grabbing whatever the CanPL has talked about and been like, quick, quick. That's why I was, you know, that was obviously the joke in the intro about pointing and laughing at CanPL just a little bit, because as we've said many times about the NSL, terrible website notwithstanding, God, I hate it. They continue to do the things that the CanPL have been unable to, or at least do it well. And I have no doubt that whatever team and whatever stadium, because they're building, they're doing this from the anyway, it's not going to be where Winnipeg played before. This has got nothing to do with the Blue Bombers. It's all, good. You know, like, I have no doubt that this will be a success. Do you know what I mean? At least on the off. So we'll see. But Winnipeg.
Incredible. But we really have an odd number of teams like this early? Come on. Announce Quebec City already.
That's actually, yeah, that's funny. Yeah, I do. I'm trying to think, because they have talked about Saskatchewan. Did they talk about another? Did they talk about another Ontario team or another Western team? Like, I did see somebody in one of the comments being like, do Edmonton next.
Edmonton.
Oh,
yeah.
You know, like,
Edmonton. Edmonton. Who's from Edmonton? What famous?
Oh, that's true. That's, yeah.
Canadian
we'll have to do
player
research.
Is from Edmonton. And kids.
Are there any?
That's a good
I
question.
I don't know.
You'd think there would be.
By one, maybe. Colin Samuel? No? No. No, he's probably not. Huh.
Anyway,
who?
This is just, I love it. You can go, you can follow the Winnipeg Instagram account. Shireen Ahmed did a nice article about it. And like, I just really do love the whole Gail Scott connection, because they already, you know, they have a history. They already know each other. Again, Desi Scott, a hometown girl. And this is just, I think he's probably going to be their first coach, but maybe not. Maybe he's going to just be administrative. I don't know. I expect him to be announced as the first coach. But again, we have until next February, because that's when training and preseason starts for them. But from all their announcement stuff so far, they expect to have everything in place for the kickoff of next season.
For the record, I was thinking of Randy Samuel, not Colin Samuel. And he did play for the Edmonton Eagles.
Okay.
In the long, long befores and the before times, but he grew up in Richmond, so I got nothing.
Yeah. Looking at things up here in the, you know, just the initial, I guess, AI thing that it always gives you annoyingly. It, you know, goes, Alfonso Davies, strong start. And so Shamit Showmate to St. Ricketts. Oh, okay, drops off quickly. Probably Stephanie Labbé.
But isn't she involved with the Vancouver team? I think.
Possibly. That sounds right.
I think, isn't she the GM of the of the rise?
Oh, I don't
I
know.
think, but yeah, she's there. She's from Edmonton, but phone worked faster.
Danica, woo.
She is the sporting director. Huh. So,
All right, well, yeah,
she could move.
Edmonton,
That sporting directors can be replaced. She's not the GM, so.
Edmonton needs a sporting director.
Exactly. And it's
True.
right there in hometown. Yeah, she's already got experience with
Yeah.
Vancouver. So we like experienced people to help build teams, right? So I like this, you guys. Good thinking. Well done. All right. So huzzah, NSL goodness. We like some good positive news. Time for a little TFC talk. I'm so sorry, Duncan.
Word.
I'm mostly sorry. I'm not entirely sorry. Player moves. I know this will break both your hearts. My dad will be heartbroken about the second one. He will not at all. Cassius Malula
Cassius
and
Malula.
Toronto
Oh
FC, I know, have agreed to terminate the forward's contract. Will no longer occupy U22 and or da, da 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 da. Anyway, Toronto FC have utilized one of the club's two buyouts of the guaranteed contract on Malula, so that is how much they wanted that to end. And Toronto FC have announced today. This was all a couple weeks ago, almost 2 weeks ago. But again, we've been busy or not podcasting. We had lots of World Cup stuff to talk about. You all survived.
There was a World Cup.
TFC announced today that the club has waived and exercised a buyout of a guaranteed contract. That's the second one. On defender Henry Wingo. Every time he was in the starting 11, my dad would put in the family chat. They can't win with Wingo. The
Oh
wins
dear.
go with Wingo. Like, it was always
Oh
something like
no.
that. Oh yeah,
Oh
oh
no.
yeah. Every single time. Every time. Anyway, will no longer occupy a senior roster spot. His wages will no longer da, da, da. Anyway, so gone and gone. But now Toronto FC acquire
Oh shit.
midfielder Nelson Palacio. Remember Nelson Palacio? Actually,
Vaguely.
I was like, I recognize this name. I don't remember why. From RSL, but he's only played for RSL. Maybe he's only
Yeah.
played. Yeah, maybe that's why.
RSL.
Just because he's played for RSL for a while.
Been there
But
for a
I don't like.
couple seasons.
He's familiar to me, like name wise. Before I saw this, I was like, I don't know why. I know. Maybe I occasionally pay more attention to MLS than I think I do.
Are you thinking of Wilson Palacios? I feel like
No,
that's the name.
I'm not, but I
Oh,
wonder
are
if
we
they're
doing a
related.
rhyming gag, Duncan? Because I don't know if I can do this.
Anyway,
It's just, I
so
feel like I've heard of
TFC,
him. No, you've heard of somebody who sounds like him.
acquire midfielder Nelson Palacio in a cash for player trade from RSL in exchange for $1.1 million and up to $550,000 in conditional cash if certain performance-based metrics are met. Additionally, RSL will retain a sell-on percentage if the player is traded or transferred. He is 25, so hey, not an old dude. That's nice. Let's see, 5'11". He's from Colombia. Yeah, welcome aboard. Doesn't really feature for the national team too much. But it's been part of the program. Anyway, doesn't look like a terrible signing. Has some decent experience. Why not? TFC could use some shoring up of the midfield going forward. And the two players no longer with them. That's really not a concern, I don't think, for anybody. And then
So
something
they've
we were.
just thrown Wingo out of the window.
Yeah,
I was going to ask how much was that buyout for Henry Wingo. But to also for another callback, not nearly as far back as that. Hey Duncan, does your wife give you conditional cash on the as long as you behave? Because my wife gives me conditional cash if I behave.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You can't go wrong with conditional cash.
I just wanted to know if like that's a thing that happens not in my apartment.
Mm-hmm.
So and an MLS, go figure. That's nice.
And then one last little bit of TFC news, TFC 2 news, but related. The Barry has announced plans to build a $28 million soccer specific stadium with Toronto FC's reserve side as its major tenant starting the 2028-29 season. The city, which owns the land where the stadium is to be built, will pay for the construction of the venue, which will open with seating for 3,500 to 3,800 eager fans. Temporary bleachers can expand it. And then the stadium design allows for future capacity to reach up to 10,000. My word. MLSE will continue to own and operate the reserve team, which will be renamed, by the way, because right now it's just TFC2 and it plays in MLS next as part of the reserve league. They're going to call it, literally just calling it Barry.
Barry Barry's. The Barry so, Barry's. Just,
that would be if great.
You,
would
if you want to play
that.
For the team, you've got to be called Barry. It could
be
team,
like. The team itself will be initially rebranded to Barry MLS Next Pro. Ooh, that just rolls off the tongue until a permanent name is chosen.
Awful.
My God, I can't wait for the scarf.
All the players will be relocating to the beautiful town of Barry.
good luck, guys.
At least it's not exciting. Far, though. At least it's not far. Anyway, so that, and the there's an ownership group that's involved, the Barry Stadium Group. Oh, Peter Rocco, we know that name. Involved in this because this was part of the group that had the Simcoe County Rovers. Remember the schism with all the with the De Guzman and the competing Barry Simcoe teams and stuff? So fun. That was as close to like some good Canadian soccer drama as we've had for a while, and then it all sort of just frittered away. Anyways, he's part of this group, he's part of that group. So this ownership group involves Kyle Lane. Oh, this is the one with Julian De Guzman. Ah, okay. Atiba, Daniil, and then it was sold to the Barry Soccer Club. It's also very confusing. Anyway, sounds good. I think this is good for a soccer infrastructure front. We like to see purpose-built stadiums of a reasonable size. Anyway, I see nothing wrong with this. It'll be interesting to see it all, how it all shuffles out. What was one thing that was interesting about the article was talking about how like the team currently plays at York Lion Stadium as one of the many tenants there. And they get almost no fans, right? Like there's basically nobody that goes to those games. But Barry can be a soccer town. Like it has, there is a fan base there. So this has an opportunity to actually build a fan base for this level of the club, for the younger players, for the reserve sides. So that actually will be interesting. Also in terms of teams traveling up there to play, right? From the US and stuff. So that'll be fascinating. All right. I look forward to seeing how this all shuffles out in a couple of years.
Barry, you know, Barry's got a could support this. I also don't rule out the fact that people want to do shit. You know, like for TFC to take such a, you know, crazy risk by putting it into a burgeoning suburb of a whole bunch of people who consider themselves Torontonians who just happen to live up here. This makes total sense. But also, like, I feel like any other community that should be thinking, should we try getting one of these newfangled soccer things? Yes, you absolutely should. And you kind of need to build a small stadium that can be for community use, not just for the CAMPL or the NSL. So, like, I'm just, the only thing I'm happy that, you know, for Barry, and maybe there's a future where they've got this fantastic little ground that needs a CAMPL team. But until then, we could, you know, anybody else can just start doing this now too. Like Kitchener, London, looking at you two assholes. What are you doing? Mississauga, it's about time. Like, we need more of these. But yes, yeah. more grounds are good.
Yeah, I was in this you know, I part of me feels like this is just MLSE. Looks like things might potentially happen in Barry. Right, let's make sure this is about us and not a CPL team. Because it's definitely a sort of MLSE kind of marking their territory kind of thing. And making sure that there isn't some new pizza chain coming
new coming pizza along. Chain across the street.
Yeah.
Still Manning involved in this.
Maybe. But you know, it's a cynical way of doing it. This is it's good as to say, wait, more like infrastructure, more stadium, all that sort of thing. I don't feel TFC2 was not in any way moving the needle of soccer excitement, whether in Vaughan or York or wherever the fuck they've been playing. So yeah, Stray Barry, why not? Might work.
And one last tiny little thing before we do a brief preview section. For those of you that are Ted Lasso fans, you may recall that we mentioned that Danny Rojas actor Christo Fernandez actually signed a contract, you know, to get back into soccer because he was a pro player before he got injured. He wasn't a star or anything, and he didn't play for that long. But anyway, the man has played soccer. He's also not young, right? But he is playing in the USL with the El Paso Locomotive. He's signed a proper contract, and Saturday night stepped on the pitch for the first time on 79th minute for his first minutes. New Mexico United decided to spoil that debut and score two late goals to beat them quite soundly. But anyway, this is, I hope he does. I hope this is good. I hope he gets to like actually play and play well and enjoy his time playing soccer. You know what I mean? Like he's clearly got some skill. And I always support people. Yeah, go for your dreams. Like, why the fuck not? Does it feel maybe a little bit like a publicity stunt? Sure, but he's put in the work. He's played in the reserve league. He's trialed. He's, you know, got himself back into fitness. He didn't sign with an MLS team, right? You know, like that's, to me, that lessens the publicity stunt of it all. I don't know if he's in the new Ted Lasso, because the focus is on the women's team. So anyway, I'm happy for him. So football is life. You go, Christo Fernandez. I'm delighted for you.
It's amazing. Agreed. It's fun.
It is fun. All right. What's coming up? Well, we already talked about Argentina and England, and we've all declared that we think Spain is going to win. So that just leaves us with Toronto and Montreal.
Yeah.
This is the match that the MLS scheduling gods have chosen to kick off MLS's return from their World Cup break. They play on Thursday night in Montreal. Toronto, not good. Montreal, slightly better. So, but what I wish what I wish everyone, the main thing about this matchup, other than the you know, years long rivalry, obviously that's never ending, is who Montreal's top goal scorer is. That's just what I want. You gentlemen haven't looked at the players to watch link yet. Please turn your attention to it now.
Oh my.
Are you fucking kidding me?
The man cannot
shit,
be stopped.
That G doesn't stand for games. I think that stands for goals.
No.
Yeah.
Prince Owusu.
Prince Owusu.
G stands for goddamns.
Come on down.
Also, look who's third in their list.
I know.
Sorry. Are there two Matty Longstaffs that play football? God damn, it's the same one.
Like, what the fucking hell is happening? But no, seriously, as soon as Owusu went to Montreal, it was like a switch got flipped. Because he did pretty well for them last year, right? Because that's when he went there. But like this season, I've time and again, somehow I keep getting this in my feed. I must follow enough people from Montreal. I don't know. And I'm just like, again? The hell? Nine goals. Matty Longstaff has two goals. Fuck off. Are you kidding me? Both of them start regularly. Both are leading the team in yellow cards.
Good.
That one at least makes some sort of sense.
Yes, that one doesn't shock me at all. Yeah. Wait, is that Petrasso? Is that Luca Petrasso? Luca Petrasso plays for them too.
All right, yeah. He seems to be a regular starter as well. Okay, yeah. Sure.
I you know what? While I appreciate the joke that Toronto feeds the rest of the league, I am upset that that also includes Montreal. They should be doing the same bullshit that we are, churning out academy kids, sending them off somewhere else where they can be successful. Not keeping them.
Oh,
or at least
my
getting
goodness.
Ours. Jesus.
I know. The fuck? I don't even know if I care to look at any other players, because I'm just like, nine goals? Christ
that's,
on a bike.
That's upsetting.
Oh,
and distressing.
Oh, Ivan Jaime. I just because it's like, Jaime. That's what it looks like on the list. So Yvonne. Malaga. I think returning heroes of Oso and Larea to the squad, and apparently no new injuries. The one thing that Toronto hasn't done is announced if, you know, how many of their gazillion injured players are available to play on Thursday. Haven't seen much of that. I haven't seen much talk about, they've actually been very quiet. Like, you know, suddenly they're just like, okay, we bought out these two players. Okay, we grabbed this guy from RSL. And we put up some social media content welcoming, you know, Oso and Larea home. And I think I just saw something with Shallowy. They did like a nice sort of puff piece. Wait, suspended. Why is Prince Owusu suspended?
Good.
That would be awesome. That would be so good. Why doesn't it say? It just says suspended. That doesn't help me any. God damn it. All right, he might not play. And it looks like Luca. Oh, that's different. That's Matt. Oh, Pereira for Toronto. Oh, right, the new guy. He's already one of the newer guys. He's already injured. All right. Okay. Interesting. Now this says Oso is suspended too. Did he ever get a card? Oh, he did. In their last match, he did get a card or something, right? All right. Well, maybe Prince Oso won't be playing. That could be nice. So it's hard to do like a proper, hey, this is what's going on, without a solid update of Toronto's injured players, because they had a full team of injured players. right? Like, it was getting pretty ridiculous every single time they had a match. When, you know, what emergency signings have we done from the Baby Reds now? And also, when they move to Barrie, how is that going to work? You know, who's got the fastest car that can grab the kids from Barrie for tonight's match, kind of thing, right? But without knowing who's fit and who's been training and stuff, I don't know. Montreal's been the better side between the two before the break. So I look at this as, you know, Montreal's game to win, personally. You know, Toronto went into the break losing many. So I don't know. Should we do goal predictions or should we just say win lose?
Yeah, I may as well throw out a score prediction.
All sure. Right, stick with tradition. Stick with tradition. Sure.
For sure.
Montreal wins 4-2.
Jesus.
Ooh, Duncan special right out the gate.
Toronto wins 3-1.
Intriguing.
I have no reason to believe that.
No, but there's no reason to believe what I'm about to say, which is a 2-2 draw.
It kind of sounds like a klaxon for us.
we hit for the cycle in a really weird way.
Yeah, something like that.
Anyway, if you've been terribly missing MLS, I know you've all just been like agonizing over it. The MLS campaign to like get people pumped is hilarious, by the way, which, like, we got this world or something. I don't know. God, what is it? Hold on. I have to.
Thank you, world.
Thank you, world. We got it from here or something. Yeah, like, it's just, yeah, thanks, world. We'll take it from here.
Yeah. I love the idea that there's suits that actually think that there's a rub off from the World Cup to this piece of shit. It's like, hey, you guys liked F1s. Have you thought of bicycles? Like, no, that's not how this works. You can't service caviar and tell me that a Marmite sandwich is what I want. Just, even though they probably taste similarly, I speculate. I've never had either, but like, it's just, it's insane to think that. I love the idea though, also, that there are people who travel to the United States for the World Cup and are just sticking around because they want to catch some MLS. That is the myth I want to be a part of. I want to see the 5-part documentary on that guy and just the bewilderment of what he's doing in Columbus, Ohio. Like, just, I'm not sure how I got here either, but it was interesting. You know, I don't even know what that accent is, but I did it. Yeah, like, you know, just, I just want, you know what? Fuck it. Hire actors. Let's just pretend. Let's do a documentary with fake actors, fake people, pretend to be, oh, I came here to watch the World Cup semifinal. I thought, why not? I'll just go to Minnesota United. You know, like, because they're nowhere near each other. You can't even get to them by train from wherever you were.
Anyway. But on the heels of that, as we go out, welcome Robert Lewandowski to MLS. Officially introductory press conference with the Tire Fire today.
You mean Robert Lewandowski?
Yeah. I was like,
Levin.
I mean, he's a brilliant player, like,
but for sure.
Dudes, you're all allowed to retire with all of your money and all of your laurels and your legends and reputations fully burnished and intact. You don't have to come here. I mean, but also, if you really want to, welcome. But anyway, at least, like, Chicago makes sense for him, community-wise, right? Like, perfect fit. So, anyway, yeah, Lewandowski. Come on town. Does Toronto play Chicago at home the rest of the season? Just, I would be tempted to go to that just to Jersey watch, you know, like, just to see.
For sure.
Let's see, Chicago. I feel like actually they do. Is that at home or is that? Oh, mark your calendars, folks.
Go on.
September 5th, Toronto hosts Chicago Fire. Saturday night. Oh, that's an X match probably too. That's like the last. That's the big. Oh, that'll. You know what? That'll be packed. That'll be an interesting night. There we go. For those of you who wish to see Mr. Lewandowski, this is your early warning. We will talk about it more in a month and a half. All right. Well, on that exciting note, maybe we'll have Mo Salah to the sports to announce next. Who knows? Please join us next week as we look back at the World Cup as a whole. We'll talk about the winner, the final, of course. Also, I do have one last pet peeve thing to mention. Every time an announcer says that a team has never been in a World Cup final before, they're not. They're in the tournament called the World Cup. Final is the final match. Please stop it. I hate you all. It's pissing me off. It's been
What if they
pissing me
said
off
final,
for weeks.
final? They're in the World Cup final, final.
Oh
They're in
my
the World Cup
God.
final group
I
stage.
lose my mind every single time one of them says it. And it doesn't seem to matter where they're from. Everyone's doing it. I'm like, did Infantino sit you all down? Like, I understand you all have to say FIFA World Cup 2026 7 million times a day, but Jesus Lord, these matches are not the final. This is the tournament. There were qualifications for the tournament. We know that they're different things. The final is the final match. Stop it. Sorry, I really, really hate it. It's driving me crazy. As you can tell.
So
Anyway,
I see.
so next week we will talk about who won the final match. But also we're going to talk about whether this tournament does indeed have a lasting impact on the future of soccer in Canada, what hosting the tournament was like, the numbers for Canada's matches, things like that. We'll see if Winnipeg has announced their team name and a few other things, but really we do want to take a look at what tournaments like this claim to do for development. Again, that project in Barrie, they were, does that happen without the World Cup? Probably not. So things like that are a part of a conversation that we want to have, and that will be a big part of our show next week. So we hope you tune in to listen to that. Anyway, happy Bastille Day, everyone. Vive la Revolution. All empires fall. And I have been joined
You are
by.
a cantoner.
I've been joined by these wonderful gentlemen to be found on the Twitters again a little more frequently these days. Don't enjoy it too much. World Cup is almost over, but he's out there at Duncan D. Fletcher, Mr. Duncan Fletcher.
Although, really don't know what I want to happen tomorrow. Chaos, obviously, but I'm really not sure what the best outcome in the end would be. Somehow England's going to lose. Let's make it entertaining.
Aw, for I hope they win, Duncan. I'm for you alone. I hope they win, if that is what you secretly want in your heart of hearts. But if not, then I hope it's just chaos and they lose. How's that?
Deal.
Out on the tweet machine at Kit Nerd Mark with a K, not a Q, Mr. Mark Hinkley.
Thank you to everybody who continues to support our podcast, either via Patreon or even just listening. You're the best. I also hope that England win. And, for chaos's purposes, I'm going to vote for England to win 2-1. They'll be up 2-0. They will concede. It probably like we'll say like the 68th minute, and then it'll be the greatest bus parking you've ever seen for
Big Dan
27
Byrne
minutes.
just like standing in front of the
He's
net the
just
whole
he's
time.
going. Big Dan Byrne.
That's Dan Byrne sounds like the worst wrestling name, and I'm here for it. And he also, like, being that big, should be a wrestler. And then Spain will obviously stomp all
Oh,
over
Spain's gonna
England.
triumph. Yeah,
I
Spain's
don't
winning the
want
World
that
Cup,
either, but
anyways.
here we are.
Talking
Oh, I
of
do.
like rest talking of wrestlers and the England football team, I think I may have brought this up before, but Mark, does Jordan Pickford not give you a massive William Regal feel. Just like a lot of his kind of like just gestures and sort of like antics and facial things is like he constantly reminds me of William Regal.
You know what, if under like I'm looking at a gallery. There's a couple photos that if you were to say Jordan Pickford, his uncle is Lord Steven Regal. Lord we William Regal. Steven Regal, he was called Steven Regal. If you told me that
Was he?
Uncle, yes, the first, I think the first run in WWE was Lord Steven Regal because the
Ah.
WWE had a thing about controlling your name so that when you left, you couldn't profit off of their work type of shit. That
Right.
happens a lot. Anyway,
Sure.
yeah, you could tell me that, you know, his uncle is William Regal for sure. There's slight semblance there. One or, you know, I see it. But can
Yeah,
you cut a promo?
it's not
That's
so much on the looks, but it's just like some of the sort of
oh,
like
like
gestures.
gestures?
Yeah, especially when he's just kind of like done something good and he's trying to sort of antagonize the opposition fans. It's just like, oh yeah, that's totally it's a William Regal vibe from him.
That's amazing. I'll have to go look for his interviews and just also like in-game gesturing. Somebody's got a supercut of that shit.
All right. As for me, you can find me on the internet. Yes, the entire internet at KZ Knowles. I have been your host, Mr. Knowles. And until next week, Canada, get used to it.